Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 194 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are now entering the skill section. Now, perhaps I've lost your trust. Perhaps after telling you once before that we were entering the skill section, and then telling you that we were entering the occupation and skill section after that, maybe I've cried skills too many times and you won't believe me, but I assure you, we are entering the section where we're going to start talking about skills. Just as soon as we deal with a couple of pages of lists of skills that are not yet described. I can see where this might be a little bit confusing to the listener, but these are actually quite a useful couple of pages. It's just two pages with a master list of all the skills in the game organized by category, along with their base percentage of success that you get when you have the skill, and the number by which these skills advance each time the character levels. So to take a random example, Disguise has a base 25% chance of success with the skill, plus whatever bonus you bring from your education. And then for every level of experience that you gain, you add 5% to that skill. So we've got here a couple of useful functional pages without a ton for us to dig into. It's just lists of skills, none of which I want to pick on too hard because we're about to talk about these skills at length, right? However, there is a top level issue here, an issue of which skills were included in this game. And the author kindly addresses this top level issue explicitly on this page to give me something to talk about. By way of explanation for this giant skill list we're about to embark on, by way almost of apology for there not being 3, 4, 5 pages of skills on the master list, the author says, quote, "The focus of this book is the supernatural, the paranormal, and arcane knowledge. So skills are narrowed to those most appropriate for our modern world and the Beyond the Supernatural setting." The author later repeats on this very page, quote, "Only the skills most appropriate to the BTS setting are presented." So that's the author saying, look, if you're a Palladium fan, you know there are many more skills than this. Hundreds and hundreds more skills than this that we could get into. I can only say, I'm sorry, this is really a narrow game. It is the modern day. It is relatively low fantasy. It is trenchcoat horror. It's a game about psionics and magic that is so fucking packed, I left the magic out. That's how tight we're focusing here. I left out half the premise of the goddamn game. I only got to beyond the, and I had to stop. So, only the skills most appropriate to Beyond the Supernatural are on this list. So, that gives us some kind of criterion by which to judge the dumbness of this page, because it's just a list of skills. But, they are meant to be the skills most important to and most appropriate to the setting of this game. These skills are a backdoor way of explaining the setting to us, since this game does have a voluminous setting section, but it basically got stuck on the question of why don't people believe in the supernatural in this world on like page 6 of the book, and pretty much spent half of the book's length just kicking that question back and forth across the many, many pages of the setting section. So it didn't really get to a lot of detail about like how fantastical is this, like what is the tone, what kind of player characters, you know, is this Gonzo or is this pretty grounded? Is it Monster of the Week or is there a whole section of like mundane investigation before a monster ever shows up? What are you supposed to do with this game? None of that's really answered, but we have the author's assurance that this skill list has been pared down to only the skills that really epitomize what this game is about. Therefore, if we put all these skills together, we should be able to figure out what the fuck we're supposed to do with this mess we have been handed. Therefore, the dumbest thing on this page is going to be the skill that pulls focus farthest from where it's supposed to be onto something this game isn't really about, to a playstyle or an implicit setting that doesn't match what we're given in the rest of the book. I've got a few candidates. Let me give you that short list, and then I'll tell you what my pick finally was. You could maybe make an argument for domestic skills that, do we need to roll to cook? Do we need to roll to dance? Or to play a flute, or to do housekeeping. However, paradoxically, part of the promise of this game is that it's not all parapsychologists and SWAT team members and psychic assassins or whatever. Some of the characters in this game are regular people who have been blessed with psychic abilities, or maybe even not that, may have just had the supernatural kind of barge into their lives, and these characters have to make do with the skills that they have to somehow stave off supernatural evil. Therefore, in a weird way, it's appropriate to have skills that are highly inappropriate to monster hunting in this game, because the game is partly about using skills like that to get results as a monster hunter. You might use housekeeping to clean up a crime scene. You might use a home-cooked meal to ply someone for information. So these fall into the category of appropriately inappropriate skills. It fits the setting. The homemaker who happens to be a psychic and has to covertly fight off a coven of witches or whatever, for that character, domestic skills could be just right. We've got some skills that are more military specific than you would expect to be useful in a game that has no active military player characters, a game where the military is not likely to act as a setting. Arguably, military etiquette, not super useful. Skills like vehicle armorer, weapons engineer, the APCs and tanks skill, those may seem like they're overshooting the setting somewhat. However, while, as we've discussed, they are unevenly implemented, ex-military characters do exist. The military exists as a player in the world of conspiracy and government weirdness that's presumably simmering in the background of this setting. And importantly, if you have these skills, you're going to find ways to use them, right? A field armorer may not do the same thing in civilian life fighting monsters as they did in the military, but they'll find a way to make those skills useful in monster hunting for sure. So fair enough. Those are all honorable mentions. Let me give you the two runners up before I give you the winner here. And you're going to see the difference is very stark between these and something like cooking, which seems like not the first skill that comes to mind in a monster hunter's repertoire, but belongs in this world. Number one, NBC warfare. NBC stands for nuclear, biological, and chemical. And here's what the skill does, quoted from its description many pages from now. Quote, this is the knowledge of safety precautions to protect oneself and others from the effects of nuclear, biological, or chemical warfare, waste, and contamination. The character is also knowledgeable in the safe handling and, quote, cleanup and containment of such hazardous materials. Essentially, this skill is only useful in your campaign if at some point your character or someone else in the group is either, number one, targeted by a nuke or a biological weapon or chemical warfare, or two, you are handling or even employing these kind of weapons in your fight against the forces of hell. I think if I were assembling a list of skills for Beyond the Supernatural and narrowing it down to the most relevant and appropriate ones for Trenchcoat Horror, dealing with the effects of nukes and chemical warfare would not be on the list. Demons are not known to use these weapons, and player characters, when properly supervised, are also not known to use these weapons against monsters they're supposed to be having dramatic gunfights against. Obviously, you leave a nuke lying around, anything could happen. Remember that player characters are full of wonder and curiosity. They don't know what they're doing. PCs are naturally curious. It's not their fault. It's on you. If I'm a first-time player and I see this skill on the list and I've dutifully read the rest of the page, what this tells me is, hey, you know what's a thing that could totally happen to you in a Beyond the Supernatural campaign? You could have to deal with fallout after somebody drops a nuke. You could have to deal with the aftermath of a bioweapon. I think that's misleading, but it's not out of the question. Like, there are government conspiracies in this game. I can imagine a plot in the X-Files where there's a bioweapon that we have to keep a demon from exploding, or even where, like, a college campus accidentally has a secret prototype bioweapon get out. Something like that. It's not typical, and I think it is misleading. Like, if I'm taking this skill as a player character, probably my expectation, or at least my hope, is that I'm going to be able to get my hands on, like, a chemical weapon and really fuck up the legions of the damned with it. And I don't think that's probably in the cards, so it's misleading, but you might just have to deal with somewhere that's been nuked or somewhere a biological weapon has been released, especially late campaign. So this doesn't quite make the cut as the dumbest thing on this page. Next up, much closer to taking the crown here, is horsemanship : exotic animals. Now, I cannot wait to talk about the horsemanship category on the show. It's coming, and it's going to be 2 days of madness. Just wait. Don't even look ahead. Don't even go read it ahead of time. Let it be a surprise. But suffice it to say that the horsemanship : exotic animals skill is for riding non-horse animals and definitely envisions either alien animals or like circus animals. The idea is if you want to ride a tiger, if you want to ride a bear, if you want to ride an elephant, if you want to ride a pterodactyl from the planet Venus or whatever, that's what horsemanship : exotic animals is for. This is puzzling because this really isn't that kind of game. I mean, as wacky as Palladium games are, as much as this is the chunky gun version of Trenchcoat Horror, it's a little bit goofier, a little more action-oriented, a little more over-the-top. I don't expect people to be riding tigers around. This isn't that game. So much so, in fact, that if you're a character who would logically have that skill, I have to question whether you are the right character for a Beyond the Supernatural campaign. I wouldn't let tiger writing just slip past my desk as a GM. I wouldn't just rubber stamp that, because I know, regardless of your bullshit about your circus background and how it's so important for the pathos of your character or whatever, if I let you play a character who has a goddamn tiger writing skill with a percentage and everything on their character sheet, I know it is about 2 minutes to tiger time in my campaign of Trenchcoat Horror that I'm going to attempt to run. It's a time bomb. So if I don't want someone riding a tiger through this dark and bonkers world, I shouldn't let you take this skill. And it's really not four player characters, is the sense that I get. It's not that no one in this game could have that skill. It's that this isn't really the sort of setting where one would roll for it. If you want to have it be an element of your character's history that they know how to ride an alpaca, then fine. I'm not running any scenes where the table is meant to collectively hold its breath while you roll your alpaca riding skill to evade demonic pursuit. It's too silly. And anyway, in that scenario, either you get away or I have to describe the demons eating an alpaca. So there's no winning here for me as the GM, right? I got to have fun too. No alpacas in chase scenes. But I do have to admit, there could be a monster in this game who has an exotic mount, a bug monster from their home dimension or whatever. And in that scenario, I guess it might scratch somebody's particular itch to, instead of just giving them horsemanship, give them a special non-horse horsemanship skill to reflect that if you put them on a horse, they wouldn't know what to do. But they spent their childhood at an extra-dimensional flying bug ranch, and so they're very comfortable on bug back. And then there's a chase scene where they're chasing one of the player characters, and we need to know how to roll the bug riding skill. I don't know that there are any monsters like that in this book, but there could be one that would be appropriate to the setting. And you could just use horsemanship, but I would understand, I guess, if you didn't want to. So horsemanship colon exotic animals is only in second place. Even though, I mean, taking a step back, getting some perspective, riding around tigers or flying bugs is hundreds of miles away from what we expect to be doing in this game. If I'm supposed to give the player characters flying bug mounts in Beyond the Supernatural, I would expect to see the Mulder and Scully knockoffs on the cover riding flying bugs. To give me fair warning before I pick this up, that this may be X-Files flavored, but stupider to a transformative extent. Anyway, the winner, ultimately, the dumbest thing on this page, is a skill that may seem prosaic compared to alien bug riding, aircraft colon jet fighters. Here's the thing. First of all, there are no military occupations in this game. Secondly, the Just for Kicks masquerade, where you hide the existence of the supernatural from the public, and also plus they refuse to believe in it no matter what you do, that's a big part of the setting too. This has a couple of important consequences relevant to this discussion. Number one, nobody's assigning anybody to go fight a demon in a fighter jet. No one who has authority over jets is supposed to believe in the supernatural, unless they're already basically a skin puppet for extra-dimensional tentacles. You could do the game where there's like a secret special forces team that fights Lovecraftian menaces or whatever, but this is not that game. On many levels, this is explicitly not that game. The second thing about this Just for Kicks masquerade is it is already tenuous enough without introducing jet fighter combat against monsters. Jet fighters are not subtle. You can't just say it's a weather balloon. People know when a jet fighter was around. They certainly know when a jet fighter killed something. And as listeners know, I am no military expert. I know essentially nothing about combat aviation, but I do feel that you would have difficulty killing like three vampires with a fighter jet in a targeted way, right? Like, let's say they're in a nightclub. I don't see how you're killing just those three vampires with a fighter jet, especially in a low profile way. You may be able to force a fighter jet into a nightclub, but the bouncer will at least notice. You can't do that thing they do with flasks where you like disguise it as a tampon. Not with a fighter jet. This is one of the several advantages that a tiny wooden stake has over a fighter jet as a weapon, by the way. Hot vampire hunting tip. Taking the perspective of an uninitiated new player, the existence of this skill severely misleads the player as to what kind of monsters I'm going to be throwing at them and how they're supposed to fight them. And just like in general, what kind of existence you're meant to lead. I dare say that if your player characters in a Beyond the Supernatural campaign have access to fighter jets, the campaign has gone off the rails. And therefore, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if there were no explicit skill for piloting fighter jets. And we just assume if we ever need to figure out who can pilot one and who can't, we'll sort of do it by fiat, or we'll look into other Palladium games. But that's not what Beyond the Supernatural is about. Therefore, let's save some space. Ultimately, this dumbest thing is indicative of this game's failure to distinguish the scope of the setting from the scope of gameplay. I believe this skill list is narrowed down from some larger, ungodly superset of all Palladium skills, but it's been narrowed on the basis of, like, the time period. The fact that this is basically the modern world as we know it. The fact that some players will be paranormal investigators. Things about the in-fiction world that don't necessarily touch gameplay. This list has not been narrowed down on the basis of gameplay. That is to say, what skills would we actually want to roll in a Beyond the Supernatural campaign that is functioning, right? Like, if we have one member of the party riding a tiger and another member in a fighter jet and a third one preparing everyone to clean up after the nuke drops, everybody might as well just take off their fucking trench coats and put on their skull motif MDC armor, because this is either Rifts or it's about to be Rifts. But you can't deny people do exist in the world of this game who would know how to clean up after a nuke. I mean, they shouldn't really be doing it on screen ever, but they do exist. And so the author felt the need to put that skill in the game because the author did not distinguish between the setting of the game and the actual gameplay of the game. If these skills had been narrowed down to the gameplay of Beyond the Supernatural, like the things that a player character would have and need to roll because the outcome matters and can't just be determined by fiat, we could have made some deep cuts in this skill list, as we will see proceeding through the section. But anyway, yeah, ultimately, the dumbest thing in this page, it starts with a guarantee that these skills are only the ones most relevant to what we do in Beyond the Supernatural, and then in the final skill category on the page, offers the ability to pilot a fighter jet in combat. Either I'm very wrong about what this game is, or, as I have ample reason to believe, the author is. Speaking of this author being wrong, join me tomorrow as we discuss which skills are hard and which skills are easy, per the all-encompassing wisdom of Palladium, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.